to be here a long time. So
that's the way to start it, Madam Chair.
That's right.
As long as
you're on there.
That's right.
We love our work, though.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's Friday. And we're going to be here a long time on Monday. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2704. Judith.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 2704 is the measure that initially the original bill requires the Department of Transportation to include fuel-efficient driving techniques in the examination for a driver's license. You have now before you the -1 amendments that delete that as a requirement and adds permissible language that allows the Department of Transportation to include a question on fuel-efficient driving techniques as part of their randomly generated list of questions for those exams. We have a no revenue impact, no fiscal statement on this one quite yet. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Buckland.
Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 2704.
Representative Buckley has moved the -1 amendments to House Bill 2704. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I just have to say I think it's I think we're being very kind when Representative Cannon's legislative assistant here is not going to have to come up and explain the amendments to us, but I'm supportive of the amendments and the bill.
Thank you. Any objections? Seeing none, the -1 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Buckley.
I move House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Buckley has moved House Bill 2704 to the floor with a due as amended. Okay, we'll start. Representative Buckley has moved House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler? Excuse. Representative Gilman? Excuse. Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei? Excuse. Chair Breyer?
Aye. Having received the motion carries, we'll just start over here. Thank you, and I think we'll let Representative Cannon carry this bill. All right, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2704. I am going to open the work session on House Bill 2936.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, House Bill 2936 we'll move to the -3 amendments because it does completely replace the original bill. Those amendments decrease the registration fees for motorhomes from $126 to $54, and it increases the length up to 14 feet for the threshold. So under this measure, motorhomes up to 14 feet would have a reduction to $54. Motorhomes 14 feet or over would have the $126 registration fee, but the current amendment on the -3s, if you look on page 7, the last change was made on line 18 such that those motorhomes that do have to pay the higher registration fee still have to pay an additional $7.50 per foot starting beyond 10 feet instead of 14. So that's the change from our last meeting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. I just want to clarify that these also include the amendment to increase the fine on oversized vehicles.
Oh, that's right.
I think so. I think Section 2 does that.
Pardon me, Madam Chair, you're exactly right. Sections 2 and 3 deal with the violation of permit and creates the as a Class A traffic violation.
Do you need a motion?
I need a motion if everybody is okay with the bill.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2930.
You have to move the -3s first.
Oh. Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendments to House Bill 2936.
Thank you. Representative Smith has moved the dash three amendments to House Bill 2936. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion House Bill 2936 as amended will be passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
No, I think we're still on the amendments, I believe.
Oh, you're right.
See,
I really am in a hurry here.
Now, Madam.
Those of the opinion that the dash three amendments to House Bill 2936 dated 4-2607 be adopted.
Objection.
Aye. No objection, everybody. Boy, I'm.
Madam Chair,
thank you.
I move House Bill 2936 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Would you like that?
Yes.
Due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Quick question on
yes.
that then. Did we decide, you probably already said this, there's no revenue impact then because amendment that was mentioned the last time we were able to make that, so no.
We have a no revenue impact statement. Excuse me, Madam Chair, Representative Reed.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Those of the opinion, House Bill 2936 as amended be passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a question?
Oh, pardon me. Madam Chair. Since I haven't had a chance to get feedback from fiscal and revenue on the dash threes, I just was looking up the department
asking.
To see if they wanted to comment now on this fiscal. I think it's more of a fiscal impact than a revenue impact that there's the concern.
Chair Beyer. And you are correct. There is insignificant impact on expenditures, and this significantly cuts the revenue impact, which was the purpose for making this change.
We're
fine. We're just happy as clams, and this takes care of the problem we had, and also. Parks is happy since they are the ones that would take the revenue hit.
Okay. So any other questions? Seeing none. Those of the opinion, House Bill 2936 as amended be passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler, excused. Representative Gilman, excused. Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei, excuse Chair Beyer.
Aye. The motion carries. Committee, I mean, obviously we need a carrier for this, and I will.
Thank you.
I'll be happy to do
Thank
it
you,
unless Representative Klim would like to carry it, but we will double check.
Very good.
Thank you. And I close the work session on House Bill 2936. Members, I'm going to go ahead and carry over House Bill 2851 to Monday's calendar. We still haven't seen the revenue impact statement, and we'll give it one more try and then just move it down. So, okay, we're going to open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2897.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2897 requires a person to sign an acknowledgement and agreement regarding driving while under the influence of intoxicants as part of their application for a driver's license or permit. You have before you the dash one amendments. It does replace the original bill, although it's substantially the same in that it requires either an application for a driver's license or a renewal to include a signed statement from the applicant stating that they acknowledge that driving under the influence may result in serious injury or death and that they agree not to drive while under the influence. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I opened a committee. We have had a public hearing on this before, but I wanted to make sure everybody remembered the bill, and I'm going to ask Ann Pratt to come up and see if she has anything to add. And if you have any questions of her again.
Chair Beyer and members of the committee, I'm Ann Pratt from Crime Victims United. Basically, it is the same bill. We just had not spelled it out in the statutory language, and it was pointed out to us right before we had a public hearing that we needed to do that, that wishing just didn't make it so. So that's why we had these new amendments drafted. We believe that this bill is a good prevention bill. It's a warning and a deterrent to not drink and drive, and it's also an educational tool, and it's a reminder to remember not to drink and drive. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Beyer. Actually, I have a question for the department at some point in time.
Okay. Any other questions for Ann? Okay. So, Jack, would you like to come up? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Jack Evans of the Department of Transportation.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If this body approves this and the Senate approves it and the governor signs it into law, what timing do you need, or will the Department of Motor Vehicles need, in order to modify your forms to have this signature? And I'm sure this was discussed at the public hearing last time, but I guess I didn't catch it.
Yeah. Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, the effective date is January 1 of 2008, and I've received no information from DMV or the analysts that we cannot make that date. So it doesn't seem to be a huge change to put that additional signature line in the checkbox on the application forms.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I guess I have a question about whether there is any cost to the department to do this.
We have, as a matter of course, Madam Chair, estimated around $75,000 in the first biennium, and that's simply a reflection of the increased staffing to accommodate the changes. Now, that's an estimate. It doesn't necessarily mean that we anticipate we'll get a staff person, but we're obligated to say, to show you that the additional time that we anticipate for questions and et cetera associated with this would generate about three-quarters of a position. So that's really, in effect, a reflection of it may be an impact on the amount of time the customer waits at the DMV counter rather than us actually able to get another position.
I'm always going to shock, Madam Chair. But
I know.
It just seems like it's a it's kind of shocking.
And I guess I don't remember from the last public hearing that we had that there was any discussion of this kind of, well, not just this kind of an impact, but any fiscal impact. So I guess.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I did mention last time that we would have a fiscal impact and it involved a position. And what it's based on is an assumption that there'll be 50% of the customers will comment or ask questions about the statement. Most of these will be short conversations, 10 seconds. It's assumed that 5% of these customers will have additional questions, so they'll spend an additional 23 seconds with each customer, and there'll be some additional beyond that. So that sounds insignificant when you think, well, so what? But we're looking at for both biennium, close to 1 million transactions, and in the 2009 to 2011 biennium, it's like 1.2 million transactions. So if you add up all the seconds across all those transactions, that's what generates the position. Now, whether DMV would truly go in and get another position in response to that is questionable, but we're obligated to point out to you that there is an impact in terms of time. Mm-hmm. And that may translate to, you know, getting another position to deploy, or if not, it just might make a slight decrease in the amount of time, or increase the amount of time we spend with customers.
Okay. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Judith, does this have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it does not.
Madam Chair, if I can.
Yes.
One thing I want to point out, and I know there's a new sheriff in town, but historically in this building, any bills over $50,000 were referred down to Ways and Means for at least a cursory review, and I guess I think that's appropriate.
I tend to agree with you. So I think what I'm going to do is, plus I guess I do have a couple other little questions. And I, again, maybe it's just been so long, but what kind of potential legal impacts do you, does the department see anything or?
Madam Chair, DMV is really doesn't have a position on the legal implications of this or potential fallout. We haven't asked for an attorney general opinion on that. We're just reflecting the amount of what we'd actually have to do to implement it. So I really can't honestly give you an official DMV position on what that
Thank
might
you.
Be.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jack, do you envision this being this form just being a separate piece of paper that's given to the driver, or is this part of the form where they fill out their name and address that they have to sign to say that this is true under penalty?
Chair by Representative Buckley, it is a just an additional checkbox on the application form, and the AG has informed us that we'll need to have a separate signature line for that, and indeed these amendments now specify that we have a separate signature line, but it's on the same form. It's not a new different. It's not a different piece of paper.
So if I could follow?
Yes, follow up.
In your discussions, then, is there any expanded legal jeopardy for a driver who signs that statement saying that they agree not to drive under the influence of intoxicants, then they do? Is there an additional penalty at all for having, I suppose, lied on a form?
Chair, by Representative Buckley, no, we have not addressed that as far as false swearing or some of those issues. That would need a legal opinion. But and it would be an enforcement issue, of course. So, but we did not address that in our analysis.
I would assume that at the time of signing, that it was true. So I would hope that would be the legal interpretation.
Representative Buckley, Madam Chair, if somebody refused to sign, of course, they wouldn't get a driver's license.
I see.
So.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one last comment. As I read lines 10 and 11, grammatically, the statement is asking the potential driver to acknowledge that driving under the influence of intoxicants can result in serious injury or death. The way that's written, grammatically, that implies that it would be caused to the driver themselves. And to me, it seems as if that ought to say, and I don't want to wordsmith, but I acknowledge that driving while under the influence of intoxicants could cause or can cause serious injury or death.
To the driver,
the way
other.
It's written by can result in serious injury or death, grammatically that implies first person.
Representative, maybe even just to the driver or others. As well.
Right, right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging us. Don Phillips, legislative aide for Representative Crummell, and he's a co-sponsor on this legislation and was the last time it came up in 2001, where it did pass the House 57-3. And Representative Smith did not have the benefit of being here for the last testimony, but I did testify last time in 2001 when I was working for the co-chair of Ways and Means, and he was the primary sponsor on this legislation. We worked very hard with legislative fiscal and crunching some of these numbers, and we came down to how many seconds at the counter are they going to need to ask this question, et cetera, how much staff are they going to need, how many barrels of ink, how much paper. Believe me, we spent hours and hours and hours going through this fiscal with a fine-tooth comb, and it really came out to be indeterminate. And I would argue that DMV is going through a lot of changes right now with the Real ID Act and implementing Senate Bill 640 with the biometric data law. They're going to have to be changing a lot of their forms anyway. And I'm just not seeing how this one small section with a line for your signature is going to destroy the whole world over at DMV. I understand there's some staff costs and some consideration there, but if you look at your fiscal impact statement that was provided to you by the Pratts, it does tell you last time that it was be able to be absorbed within existing resources. And I believe you have that in your file. And so, I mean, if push comes to shove and you want to send this back to Ways and Means, I think the sponsors would be fine with that and let them take another look at it, and we can go from there.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jeff.
Chair Byer, members of the committee, and that's in part what I was getting at, was that these costs are not generated by forms or physical things. It's simply the transactions. Now, whether or not we'll actually get a position, and at the end of the session, when the dust settles, DMV will do an implementation plan, and they'll look at all the things they need to do and all the computer time they'll need to have and the positions they'll need, and then they'll develop an implementation plan. But whether or not we would actually get three-quarters of a position or a full position to do this is questionable. But it's our obligation in the analysis to point out to you this is the impact that is driven by the transaction times.
Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be prepared to give a yes vote on this with if Judith in her notes would. Actually, let me step back on this. Can that position be a limited duration position?
Chair Byer, Representative Smith, I really can't answer that. We'd have to have position authority to have it anyway. And I don't know whether or not a limited position would get it, since it'd be an ongoing function. Because it's not an implementation thing, it's an ongoing transaction type of it.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe this would be helpful too. It sort of strikes me as takes me back to operations class in graduate school, and I remember queuing theory, where you have different inputs, and if you know the process time, the number of stations, and that sort of thing, what you're suggesting is to hold the process time constant, you'd need this additional person, right? And if not, it could all still happen. It would just take longer. So the question, if we did this, was simply, do we add some more people to keep the same the process time for a person to go in and complete this the same, or do it with the same number of inputs and it takes a bit longer? Is that
Chair by Representative Reed? Yeah, that's an excellent description, because that's essentially what we're trying to get at, is that there'll be an impact. And you could address it with somehow trying to deploy additional staff, or you could just absorb the additional time that it would take at the counter.
Thank you. Just comment. Thank you both very much, and thank you, Representative Reed. I missed that class in college. I'd be happy to be a yes vote. I think it's a very good idea. If it does need to go to Ways and Means because that's the standard, then I understand it, but I'd be comfortable taking this to the floor, too. I'll back whatever move you'd like to make on this.
Well, I have, thank you. I have Judith down, seeing if we could get a Ways and Means referral, and I think partly because I do think that we have passed a number of things out of this committee, and the Senate has been doing some, too, that actually are going to take, put us, you know, an additional burden on the department, and I wonder if maybe they all shouldn't be weighed kind of down there in the process and figured out. So
can we send Representative Reed with the bill?
I've been to Ways and Means, Representative Buckley, on the billboard bill.
Familiar territory.
So
we were given permission by the Speaker to add a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you. So I guess the question, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2897, and I'm going to open a work session. And committee, I guess, let's see.
Can I give you a motion?
You can give me a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2897.
Do we have dash
warrants?
Yeah, this is the
Oh, okay. Okay. Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2897.
Representative Smith has moved the dash one amendments to House dated 4607 to House Bill 2897. And any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? Nope. The amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, yes. I move House Bill 2897 as amended. Do you want it to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
That's the official language, parliamentary language.
And would you like it with a due pass recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2897 as amended to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Okay, let me start over. I move House Bill 2897 as amended to the floor with a subsequent with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. After 8 years, you think you have that down.
Any discussion?
Just repeat it, though.
Yeah, I know. Representative Smith has moved House Bill 2897 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the floor and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. There we go. Any discussion? Seeing none. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler excused. Representative Gilman excused. Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei excused. Chair Bada?
Aye. The motion carries. Thank you. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2897 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3157.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 3157 permits a volunteer appointed by a law enforcement agency to issue citations to persons who commit the offense of use of an invalid disabled person's parking permit. We have received a no revenue impact, not a fiscal yet. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, Kevin O'Reilly.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here representing the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America. And Representative Barker was kind enough to sponsor this bill on our behalf. As it's already been mentioned, it will allow the volunteer parking enforcement volunteers to write citations for 811-627. They can already do this. Some judges have since it's not included in ORS 811-632, they feel they have cause to kick it free, that violation, and they have been doing so. And they've asked us to bring it forward and have it added into the ORS, make their life easier, and we hope we can do this today. 811-627 makes it a crime to use an invalid placard, lost or stolen placard, or a replica of a parking placard. Believe it or not, people are actually making copies of parking placards and using them for some obscure reason. And if I have any questions I can possibly answer, I'll be more than happy to.
That's pretty easy. Any questions?
Thank you.
Representative.
Thank you. Are there other spots in the country where it's happened, and how has it worked?
Other countries have their laws are set up differently.
Well, in terms of I'm sorry, follow up.
Yes, follow up.
In terms of volunteers issuing the citations, is that
it works
work
quite
well?
Okay.
Yeah.
We had it implemented in Oregon under the state police, I believe back in the 90s, 91, 92, something like this. And maybe 6 years ago they dropped it.
Any other? Do you, this is probably not a fair question, but do you have any idea of the numbers of citations that are usually?
Last session, faulty memory, up in the Portland area, including Gresham, Washington County, they wrote over $600,000 worth of citations.
Oh my God.
The major metropolitan areas nationwide have a problem with abuse of parking placards. Currently in Portland, you can buy a black market parking placard for $600,
$1,200.
My gosh.
Who are these people?
You actually have to park them a lot away sometimes.
So what is, and again, then what is the normal fee for, fine for?
It'll vary. It can go as high as $450.
Get them.
For this particular, for 811-627, I don't know the exact amount.
And I know you said that some judges are throwing it out. Do you have any idea of how often it's happening?
Often enough to make it an issue, I guess. No, I don't really, since I'm not one of the volunteer parking people. From what I understand, it's a select few judges who do kick it loose, and they've been and they're interim judges, and primarily up in the Washington County and Gresham area have been doing this. The ones that I know of, and maybe in other parts of the state also. Currently, since the state police stopped their volunteer parking enforcement program, it's been picked up by several local law enforcement agencies. I know the Gresham and Portland, some of our members work with those, and I understand there's one down in Medford and McMinnville.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to have a question, and this will be perhaps for Judith. In Section 1, Line 6, it talks about the different citations that law enforcement can authorize volunteers to issue citations, and it's ORS 811-615, 617, 625, 620. This would be 627 and 630. Do we know what those other violations are? We're looking them up right now.
Which one are we on? This is 627. That's 450.
Yes, Jack. I was going to ask if someone from ODOT would like to come up.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I was just curious. This is an enforcement bill, but I was just curious about some of these things and asked DMV. I don't have the. I can tell you what the various violations are, but I can't link them directly. But one is blocking a parking space reserved for disabled persons, and in 06 there were 90 citations for those. Misuse of program placard is another one, and I'm not sure exactly what that means, but there were 7 citations in 06. Unlawful parking in a space reserved for disabled persons. In 06, there were 1,925 citations. And then unlawful use of disabled person parking permit by a non-disabled person, there were 70 of those.
They're pretty low numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet there'll be more if we have some volunteers out there.
Okay. No other questions?
An interesting point Judith just made.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just passing along the information to Representative Reed that we've shared here, and that is the statute is saying that the violation for that is a minimum $450 fine. Thank you.
We're in a public hearing.
We're in a public hearing. Any other questions for this? Okay. So I'm going to, any concerns? Or is everybody? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3157.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move House Bill 3157 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Buckley moves House Bill 3157 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Smith?
Madam Chair, I'll give a yes vote on House Bill 3157, but I'm very apprehensive. It makes me nervous to have citizens out issuing citations and putting themselves in the way of potential conflict. And so while I understand why we're doing this and I appreciate why we're doing this, it just makes me a little nervous that we may have a rogue volunteer who could find themselves in an awkward situation, potentially a dangerous situation, but I will give you a yes vote.
Thank you. Any other? Seeing none, those of the opinion, House Bill 3157 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler excused. Representative Gilman excused. Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei excused. Chair Byer.
Aye. The motion carries. And committee, is there someone who would like to carry this? I'm sure Representative Smith, right?
I'm sure since I am carrying this Smokey Bear license plate, I'm wondering if Representative Reed might be willing to carry this bill on our behalf.
I would.
Thank you. Sure. And I close the work session on House Bill 3157. And I'm not sure why I did it this way, but I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 3020. And Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3020 directs the Department of Transportation to erect and maintain roadside memorial signs for pedestrian or bicyclists killed in a motor vehicle accident upon application by immediate family members. This measure does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we have a no revenue impact. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And committee, I don't know if you have any questions on this one. I am really puzzled why I actually posted this bill the way I posted it, but any additional things anybody wants to say? All right. Then I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3020.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm a little quick, but we're bringing someone up. Thank you.
I'll wait.
Madam Chair, for the record, State Representative Jared Krimmel, House District 26. Thank you, which is Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston, including Bull Mountain. I just would like to point out that because this is paid for by the families when they order a sign, I don't know if that if you have the permission to lift the or rescind the order to Ways and Means, but if you do, I think that would just be absolutely terrific. And otherwise,
I'd say the same thing.
Otherwise, wrap up your Friday afternoon on a good note and pass it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, committee.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3020 to the floor with the due pass recommendation with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. By prior reference.
Thank you. Representative Smith has moved House Bill 3020 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion, House Bill 3020 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Will vote aye, and those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler excused. Representative Gilman excused. Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei excused. Chair Byer.
Aye. The motion carries. Thank you, committee.
I like your
thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, close the work session and close this off, or what do you?
Oh yeah, close the work session on House Bill 3020, and I'm going to close committee for today and rest up everybody because it'll be on Monday.
Interesting Monday. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, the intent.